My name is Abdi Wahab Ali. I'm a police officer with the Minneapolis Police Department at this time. And I have been a police officer working on the street for the past about 3 years and a couple months. Prior to that, I worked for the police department as a community service officer for 4 years, which is a civilian position before I became a police officer. I am originally from Somalia, located in East Africa. Was born and grew up in Somalia. And about 20 years ago, when the civil war broke out, as most Somalis did, you know, people immigrated to neighboring countries and other countries. And I went to Nairobi, Kenya, lived there for a couple years, and then had the opportunity to come to the United States on December 1995. We are three Somali police officers at this time with the city of Minneapolis. I'm assigned to First Precinct downtown. I'm assigned to what they call, we are divided into different sectors. I'm assigned to Sector 2, which is South Minneapolis here, where most of the population and is the city Riverside. Most of the population are Somalis and East African peoples. And I do work as what they call beat officers. So me and my partner, who is also another Somali police officer, we are assigned to Riverside beat. And I've been doing that for the last year, about a year and a couple months. They had both of us start working over there in the neighborhood where most Somalis work. And it helped the department. It helped the department and the Somali people in the neighborhood because they were a little bit on high activities in the neighborhood before that. And when we started to work, it opened up, you know, for other people to communicate a lot much better with the department, especially the elders. When I can see from their eyes when they saw us in the you know, the beat with two Somali police officers, you can see that attitude change. You can see them becoming more helpful as far as talking to us, because they don't need a translator anymore. They can come in. You can see the moms becoming more aggressive with their kids, becoming more strong, because language is a power. When you know the language, you can stand up for yourself. You can see the mom. When I'm dealing with a young male who's in trouble and his mom shows up and she sees me talking to her language, I can tell how her eyes and body and how aggressive she gets and how she's involved. And now she's strong because she can speak the language. And she says, okay, now he's in trouble. I mean, the youth feels now he's in big trouble because she knows what he did wrong. And she can tell me, you know, how can I help him later? And even the kid puts him in a bad situation where he has to be forward with us next time. So it was very helpful. And the elders felt like sometimes they had some problems in the area where some people robbing them or doing some other stuff. And then they felt like, because they don't know the language, they're just keeping their mouth shut, just going, it is kind of hassle for me to call 911 and get translated and do this, or give the description of the suspect or something like that. But when they saw us in the neighborhood, it's like, oh, this is what's happening. You know, they come forward. And then it stopped or helped. You know, it changed the whole neighborhood a lot better, which very helpful for both of us, as being a police officer and for the neighborhood. You know, it's very great. And then the young kids also, when they see us as a Somali police officer, it opens up and they feel that they're kind of closer. They can come and talk to us while they are not in trouble. And then they kind of can get education from us. You know, what do you need to do? Kind of get advice from us, which sometimes, you know, if you don't know other person's language, you cannot communicate that well. I was about 17 when the civil war broke up. I was in Mogadishu that time when the civil war broke, and it was a tough life. I mean, it was like, first, when we see what's happening, and you have to run away for your life, you know, and you just run from your house looking for someplace safe. You take whatever you can with your hands, you know. The whole family will just grab their shit on the bed, put things on top of it, and then take whatever they can together and then go a couple miles, 4 miles, thinking that, hey, the bad thing is happening. Civil war is breaking up. People are killing each other. You're going to go run away and hide a couple miles in the bushes and then hoping that, oh, it's going to be over in a few, maybe a few days, you'll come back. That's what we did, you know, with my family. Went out there a couple miles, 4 miles, stayed in the bushes, then come back. After like 4 or 5 days, nothing is happening, you know, it's not changing. And then we come back, and then we had to run away again after a few months, and then come back, and then we couldn't take it anymore later, you know, when you witness a lot of horror with the Civil War, and then all you can do is, you know, you feel hopeless. You just have to find some place safe for you to run. And we had the opportunity to get a response from a family member that lived here in the United States, so we get accepted to come over here. And then being thrown in Minneapolis, because my family that responded, sponsored us, lived in Minneapolis. Then we come to Minneapolis, and here is different world, and we had to get used to it, you know. At that time, I didn't know diversity. I didn't know people existed with different colors, different religions, you know. Then I came to the United States, where whether you're ready or not, here is diversity, here are different people and different cultures. So different religions. For me, it was something I have to get used to. I'm a Somali people are populated here at Riverside. That's where I first moved in and stayed there for almost 15 years.
Was that a good thing for you to be surrounded by the East African community so that people had had maybe a similar experience to you? Do you think that helped?
I believe it kind of helped at the beginning. Because when you first come in and you see same people like you, and you're not going to feel homesick right away, you're able to speak your language with a lot of people, and then you can relate to them, make it easy for you to teach you how to live in this different country, you know, how to live, how life is and everything, to help you. It really was helpful. But when you learn everything, you get used to everything, it can be a little bit isolation from other world if you keep staying here and you want to do the same thing over and over and without not going out of the box, going to other people and then learning. And you learn from other religions, you start learning it, and you realize, oh, it's other religions, Christianity, Judaism, other things, and you learn from it. So living as a Muslim in the United States is a little bit different, it is, but in a positive way. Because you learn from other people, you gotta take time to get to know other religions. With the Muslim community, you know, I see, I meet my other Muslim brothers, you know, in the mosque, especially the Friday prayer. And then I go to different mosques, you know, I don't belong to one mosque. That's how I was in my entire life, you know, like in a Muslim religion, it's kind of a little bit different than Christian and Judaism religions, I believe. I don't know that much, but I see some other Christian friends that say, oh, I go to this church, I belong to that church. For me, if I see someone who practices Muslim, you know, I go join them. Doesn't matter, you know, what mosque they go to or what area they're from. So I go to a mosque that I can go to, a closer one. Most of the time it happens to be that Cedar Riverside, most people over there are Somali Muslims. Sometimes I go to Northside Masjid al-Nur over there. Now Columbia Heights, there's another mosque. When I came into United States before 2000, before the 9/11, the attack, nobody cared about your religion. It's like, you're a Muslim, but it won't come out or people won't even notice your religion. So it was not an issue. back home, you hear what's called Adhan. Adhan is like you, the mosque call for prayer, and you can hear from anywhere you are at, and you can hear the Adhan calling you, go pray. So it was easy for me to remember and pray 5 times a day. Here you come to United States where you don't hear anything, and then it becomes tough for you to get schedule where you say, oh, now you gotta be more disciplined yourself. You gotta pray 5 times a day on your own, get your clock set on your own, and then you are in a busy life in the United States where it's completely different. So even my first job I had, it was like a couple months after I came in, a colleague that I was working with saw me going out praying. And then the first day he looked at me, he was kind of, he didn't want to say anything. And the next day I told him, hey, I pray. I pray 5 times. And he said, how many times? You pray 5 times a day? I pray 5 times a day. And he said, wow, you're going to pray 5 times a day? I said, yeah. And then I was working with him, and I'm asking him, hey, I'm going to go pray. I leave, and then I come back, and then in a few hours, then I'm going to go pray. And he told me, he was kind of honest, you know, honest, blunt. He just told me right, and he said, Ali, you know what? If you want to pray like this, 5 times a day like this, I don't think you'll be able to live in the United States. And I said, what? Why are you saying that? Because he said, because we work here 8 hours, 10 hours shift. You're just so busy with your life, you're not going to be able to do it. I said, wow, that's what you think. Okay, let's find out. You know, when the terrorists attacked the United States and this bad tragedy happened, my colleagues, my friends started asking me questions about, hey, what's your religion like? You pray 5 times a day. What else do you do? I mean, what is these people that are killing other Americans, you know, terrorists? I mean, then you have to explain yourself, you know, we are not a terrorist. I mean, we don't believe this. And for me personally, people live different life based on their experience. For me, before 9/11, I was not thinking even of being a police officer. I was just doing some other work. I was not even going to school for law enforcement. But the incident that happened of 9/11, it kind of led me to the fact to consider the work of police or law enforcement when I saw police officers, firefighters, going to the buildings that were collapsing to help other people, and I was watching them on TV. I mean, it kind of encouraged me to be like one of them, to be a police officer, because for me, when bad things happen in my country, personally, I did nothing because I was a young man. All the option I had was to feel hopeless, just go and run away. But when I first saw what happened in 9/11, and people were thinking in their mind differently, but my mind, I was thinking about, wow, now what are you going to do? Ali, yourself, what are you going to do? When bad things happen in Somalia, the civil war, you run away. Now, what are your options when your own country now as an American in the United States being attacked? Are you going to run away? Or what are the other people going to do? Because I didn't even know what other Americans will do when I saw in the news, I said, it's Islam, it's Muslim people doing this. I was very concerned, saying like, now, is it going to be like what you experienced in Somalia, like tribe against tribe, that other tribes were accusing other tribes, like they are the one who are doing something bad to us, let's go do something to them. And I was thinking the same thing here in my mind. It's like, now over here, are all the Islam's Muslim people going to be in trouble? Are they going to be attacked? Do they have to run away? You know? Then I realized I was getting calls from everywhere in the world. I mean, people, Somalis, like, hey, are you guys safe? You know, what is going to happen right now in the United States? Are the Muslims going to be in trouble? luckily, the neighbors and everybody, you know, they come out of it as being Americans. They come out of it telling us that, hey, it is not the Muslims. It is the terrorists. But the other thing that I did not mention was after September 11, the challenge that we go through, the challenge that Somali Muslims go through, that I witnessed, you know, it's like we have to go through the system that after 9/11, what happened, it changed our all security ways of the way we do things. I mean, when you go out and travel, you go through harsh and tough security, you know, screening than different people. So when you are Muslim and when you are Somali and when you are young male, when we travel, we witness that we are pulled aside and questioned more than other people, you know, more than the person who is white. And when we travel with other non-Muslims and whites, it happens that our friends or colleagues in the United States, when we travel and going to overseas or something, it happens that our friends go through the security as easily as it could be. And you, Somali, you're going to be pulled over. Let me ask you those questions. And then you see your friends over there standing on the other side looking at you like, what are you doing? You know, I'm waiting for you over here. And sometimes there are some other white Americans, non-friend, you traveling. And then you only Somali, and then everybody goes through security. And they easily get their passes, you know, boarding pass and stuff. And you go over there sometimes on the computer, and then you're trying to get your boarding pass from the computer. Everybody gets this boarding pass, but you don't get it. And then you say, what's going on? No, no, we have to go to that office and get my boarding pass. You know, things like that happen. And it happened because, you know, the world has changed. It has changed for us as Muslims, you know, because of the terrorist thing that's going on, which is, for me, it is not fair to me, you know, to deal with all that kind of stuff that have nothing to do with it. I think we can change, you know, as Muslims. And the way we can change is challenge the system, because it's not right and that's not fair for us. So whenever we experience something like that, it is for us to realize and recognize that and what is happening is not right. If you're being pulled over just because of your name, and you're being questioned, and you think you're being discriminated because of your religion, you gotta challenge it and then talk to you, whoever is in charge in that area, and then there is a way with the Homeland Security that you can complain. I will conclude that as a Muslim, we have to face, you know, the reality that we are Americans. We are the product of where we live. And we need to make sure that we know our neighbors. So it is up to us as Muslims to get to know our neighbors, to tell them that we are immigrants. I mean, any other immigrant had to deal with a challenge when they come in to this country. And luckily we come to the best country in the world, which is the United States, which is like a land of immigrants.